Please help me welcome J. Lauren Norris.
Dale Carnegie and John Maxwell both believe a very similar thing. And if you buy into this one idea, this one tool, it is one of the most powerful leadership tools in the world. Now, some people would say it's a management trick or a management technique. Others would say it's a great relationship technique. And I'm going to say, yeah, it's all of the above. It's a great skill set to have. It's also probably one of the most unnatural, counterintuitive expectations of human relationship you'll ever stumble into, because it just ain't natural. That's what I'm going to talk about in this episode of Leading Leaders. Stay tuned. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast. I remember a day in about 2012, 2013. We were house sitting for some friends, and we had walked out the back gate to walk around the lake behind their house. Their back gate actually was like right on the edge of the lake. And as we walked around the lake the first time, my wife and I were discussing how apathetically we were both just kind of done. We're just kind of at our wit's end. There was no argument. There was no raising of voices. There was no yelling. There was no screaming. There was not even any tears. We were talking very practically, very nonchalantly about ending our marriage at the time of almost 20 years. As we walked around that lake, the first lap, that's what it was all about. And about 20 feet from the gate, as we came back the last time, I finally asked a question that probably should have been on my mind for 20 years prior. Why would you let it all go? And her answer blew me away. In fact, we walked around the lake three more times after that. And from that time till this, 12 years later, we are this year celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. We didn't give up. We fought through it, because when she told me what that one thing was, I realized that's not hard to do, or so I thought. I mean, surely I can do that. That's simple. Not as easy as it sounds, but simple. It's a simple tool, technique, trick to ask for. Not so simple to do. But I'm going to tell you where John Maxwell and Dale Carnegie agree on this, and I didn't know that it applied to my marriage, as well as my relationship with my kids, as well as the people that I lead, the ones that I manage, the ones that I oversee, the ones that I train, the ones that I develop, and absolute strangers. Yep, when you get this one key, it changes everything. Now, I can tell you that from that conversation was born a training that I did for a couple of years. It was a training that HR people at first had a real issue with. In fact, I can tell you this story on the same lines. I joined a group for a period of time where a guy that was leading it by the name of Steve Siebold had called some people together. He made a great proclamation. He said, every year, 50,000 people raise their hand and go, I want to be a public speaker. I want to be a motivational speaker. I want to be on stage in front of large groups of people. He said, every year out of those 50,000 people, about 25,000 will join Toastmasters or some other development group to make themselves better at public speaking. And about 5,000 of them will join the National Speakers Association. And he said, but of the average, most of those people make $20,000 to $30,000 a year. Which makes you wonder, why in the world would you go, ooh, I want to do that, when there are people working at Buc-ee's making more money than that. And so I listened to his spiel. I listened to everything that he had to offer. And basically what he offered was a mentorship. Come up under me, because I've made millions as a speaker, and I will teach you to make millions as a speaker. And so his evidence was that he brought some planners who were paying him $15,000 to $20,000 a speech to say why they hired him and why, if somebody was mentored by him, they would definitely consider that mentee, that apprentice, because they would be properly trained. And so at the end of the gathering for the day, I had a chance to shake hands with one of those planners. And I said to the planner, thank you for being here. What you had to say today was a huge confirmation of a lot of the things that I've thought and learned in this journey to become a professional speaker. I appreciate your insights. They're greatly valuable to me. To which the planner turned to me and said, what is it you speak on? And I said, well, I talk about the power of PDA. And the planner threw their hands up, took a couple of steps back and said, I'm in human resources. We don't talk about PDA in the workplace because it gets people fired. And I said, oh, no, you misunderstand what I mean by PDA. She said, well, go on. Tell me what you mean by PDA. And so I explained to her what I'm about to teach you in the rest of this lesson today. And when I explained it to her, her next question was, oh my gosh, we so desperately need that. How much do you charge? And I have to be honest and tell you, that was one of my biggest failures in this industry. I didn't have a business plan enough to say, here's what I believe that teaching is worth. Here's how I've learned that teaching. Here's what I think I'm worth to stand on the stage and say it. Because she was giving all the buying signals. She was ready to hire. She loved my idea. She loved my concept. And I had nothing to sell. That's a little extra bonus for you. Now, you're probably asking at this point, will you stop teasing me because you're sounding like a really bad webinar? Tell me what it is that is this magical tool that will change relationships, develop my team members, grow my business, grow my relationship to strangers and my kids and my spouse. How do I do that? What is this one trick? Okay, you're get a pencil, write this down. No, you know what? No, I'm going to tease you a little more. I'm going to go one step further. This is a great little book. If you don't have this, this is Developing the Leader Within by John Maxwell. And I'm going to share just a little tidbit out of this book for you. So he says on page 117, he says, principles for people development. My success in developing others will depend on how well I accomplish each of the following. You ready? Five little tips. Value of people. This is an issue of my attitude. Commitment to people. This is an issue of my time. Integrity with people. This is an issue of my character. Standard for people. This is an issue of my vision. And influence over people. This is an issue of my leadership. If I make the right assumptions about people, if I ask the right questions about people, and I give the right assistance to people, then I can be successful in leading them. He goes on to say, motivating others has always been relatively easy for me. Okay, that's easy for John Maxwell. Hasn't always been easy for me. He said, for years, people would say, John, how do you motivate people? And I would say, stay enthusiastic, encourage others, lead the way, believe in people. And I would watch my followers. I would watch others follow my advice and be successful, but only for a short time. Only to fall back into the old habit patterns that result in low morale. Interesting. Observing this downward cycle, I'd ask myself, people who took my advice couldn't continually motivate others. Then one day it hit me. I was giving them, ready for this? The fruit of my motivational gifts, but not the root of my motivational gifts. What I assume about people is what I'm looking for. My assumption is the opinion that something is true. And then he hits the gold. See, my notes in this book are from 2016. The discovery that I had was in 2012. This is confirmation that my discovery was spot on. PDA. He said, assumption, everyone wants to feel worthwhile. Assumption, everyone needs and responds to encouragement. Take a moment and link the definition of leadership influence with the responsibility of leadership, people development. How do we influence others, truly motivate and develop them? We do it through encouragement and belief in them. People tend to become what the most important people in their life think they will become. Let me say that one more time. People tend to become what the most important people in their life believe they will become. But people are not motivated by organizational charts. They respond to people. The first thing a leader must declare is not authority because of rights, but authority because of relationship. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You've got to give loyalty down before you receive loyalty up. If people do not believe in their leader, anything will hinder them from following. If people believe in their leader, nothing will stop them. If you don't have this little book, go get this book. I'm telling you. So here's the discovery that I made, that PDA, that talk that I offered to give but wasn't quite ready to sell. It's the power of public displays of appreciation. Encouragement, that's what people need. That's what people are motivated by. That's what inspires them to go to the next level. This is what creates in them an attitude that seeks greater productivity. It's the attitude that drives behavior of greater productivity. How do we know this? Because we watch it in kids. It's really, really simple when they're 2, when they're 18 months old, when they're 10 months old, and they do something silly, and you laugh at them. And then they look around the room and everybody's laughing and everybody's face is positive. And even though they haven't mastered the language yet, that facial expression says, I approve of you. I acknowledge you. I appreciate you. I adore you. And with the smile, with the glint in your eye, with the giggle in your voice, you've told that child, I like what you just did. And when they get older and we disapprove, we have the scowl and the growling voice and the deep bellowing no. And the discipline sometimes that follows, and we train them not to do that. Unfortunately, sometimes we as leaders, as adults, as parents, as influencers, we get our wires crossed about what we should be encouraging and what we should be discouraging, what we should be admiring and what we should be acknowledging but not affirming. And see, everybody wants the affirmation. Everybody wants the encouragement. In fact, some people so seek the affirmation that their behavior, well, it's destructive, but it gets attention. And unfortunately, we've also got some wires crossed in our culture and in our society in recent decades where attention is understood as affirmation. Just to acknowledge that you exist, to say, I see you. That is considered approval, admiration, appreciation. It's not. And to raise a fuss, to raise a ruckus, to get attention, to have the cameras pointed at you and everyone looking at you, that's attention. And some might even call that level of attention influence. But if people are paying attention to you for all the wrong reasons, that's not good for your career. It's not good for your life. It's not good for your psychology. It's horrible for your subconscious because you're rewiring your brain to believe an untruth that will instigate the same negative behavior again and again and again because you got attention and you thought that was affirmation. It's a dangerous cycle. It's a downward cycle. If I scream and yell long enough, if you think I'm wrong, ask yourself, when was the last time a 3 or 4-year-old threw himself on the floor and threw a temper tantrum in public? Oh, they got everybody's attention. Everybody on the shopping aisle stopped what they were doing to look at this kid on the floor. There's a great Facebook meme out there right now of a toddler who throws a fit on the floor because they wanted a particular cereal and mom said no. While he's on the floor, mom gets on the floor and throws a temper tantrum as well. And all the adults are looking at her like she has completely lost it. The child gets up off the floor, puts the cereal back on the shelf, covers his face for a moment, and then helps mom to her feet. See, the fact that we got attention, that's not admiration. The fact that you got attention, that's not appreciation. No, appreciation is what my wife was in desperate need of. She said, I don't think you appreciate me at all. And I had to be honest. That was like a brick to the forehead. Never really thought about it. I mean, I thought we worked okay together. I thought we did pretty well together. I thought we got done what had to be done. I didn't realize how significant appreciation was. Started doing a little research. Did you know that 60% of people do not leave a job over pay? They don't leave a job over title. They don't leave a job because it's too hard or too difficult or too demanding. No. 60% of people walk out of a job on their exit interview. They will say, I didn't feel appreciated in this role. Or you can send them on a vacation. In fact, I don't remember which book it's in, but John Maxwell talks about the reward systems and how one particular guy actually bought a cruise for his entire company. Maybe it wasn't John Maxwell's book. Maybe it was The Power of Appreciation, which was written by somebody else. I'll have to find that. Dr. White, I believe, is his name. He talks about how this company bought a cruise for everybody on the team. And they said, we're going to go on this date and you got to fly to here. We'll pay for your airline tickets. We'll pay for the cruise. We'll pay for everything while you're on the cruise. We'll pay for your shore excursions. We're all going to go as a team and we're all going to have a great time. And out of the entire team, about a third of them didn't want to go. And the third that didn't want to go, a couple of them actually spoke up and said, you know, I'd really rather go to the mountains than to go on a cruise. In fact, I get seasick just going on a fishing boat across the lake. I can't imagine what 6 days on a cruise ship would be like for me. I'm terrified of storms. I'm claustrophobic. For whatever reason, they didn't want to go. And the owner of the company was really miffed. He'd spent all this money. He went way out of his way to demonstrate to them how important they were. But the question he never asked was, how do you feel loved? See, the five love languages, they tell us that people receive that acknowledgement, that affirmation, that appreciation differently. Now, I do everything I can now in these days to honor my wife anytime I speak of her in public. I also make a conscious effort to honor my wife even when I speak to her in private. I don't always succeed at that because I'm human. And like I said, appreciating others, it kind of goes against our nature. It has to become a habit that you train in yourself. I know some people who do it really, really well. They acknowledge people every time they see them. They affirm them every time they see them. They encourage them every time they see them. I have to work at that. I have to be honest. That's one of my character flaws, I guess. But it's necessary. See, Dale Carnegie says it like this. Give a man a fine reputation to live up to. And he will. That's that character assumption. Just like John Maxwell mentions in his little book. If you assume that someone is going to be great at something, the way you treat them in regard to that something is going to be different. If you give them a fine reputation to live up to, if you speak well of them, if you encourage their positive attributes, if you acknowledge their efforts and their attempts to be great, they're going to do better than if you constantly tell them you're a failure, you missed the mark, you suck at this. Those words are never going to build anybody up. Those words are never going to encourage anyone. There's no one who's motivated by being torn down. The negative consequences of bad behavior, they may stop bad behavior, but they don't build up people. The negative consequences are a disincentive for a particular kind of behavior, but they don't encourage the better behavior. No, that takes a second effort. That takes appreciation. That takes sometimes the public displays of appreciation. Now, here's what I learned also in that journey. There are certain people that if you send them on a cruise, they're ecstatic. There's nothing better in the world than going on a cruise. For some others, though, they would look at that and go, you know, if you'd just given me the same amount that you spent on the cruise in cash, I could have paid off my car. And that would have made my life significantly different. I could have paid off the private school bill that I have for my kids. I could have taken my wife on the vacation to the mountains that she's been begging for years. So that investment may be misapplied. It doesn't mean you didn't appreciate, didn't acknowledge. Doesn't mean that they didn't look at you and go, oh, thank you for recognizing my efforts. But the gift was amiss. See, appreciation requires that you understand, too, what the needs of people are. When you study the five love languages, you'll find that some people desperately need those words of affirmation. Others want gifts. Others want acts of service. If you take the time to figure out what those are, there's a place where acknowledging people in their five love languages is greatly affordable. And there are other places where it's greatly inappropriate. And so you've got to understand the line there. You've got to know what that looks like. And that takes a conscious effort on the part of the leader, on the part of the leadership team. You've got to develop a team that knows how to read people, appreciate them where they are, and acknowledge the gifts that they live in. That's your role as a leader. That's part of your job. It should be part of your management program to develop people by asking those questions and assuming. The other thing John Maxwell says is see everyone as a 10. Meaning, I don't look at you from the start and say, you're going to have to earn my approval or earn my appreciation or earn my respect or admiration. I look at you from the very beginning and say, I already assume you're going to be awesome. I start from the position that you're a very unique creation all on your own, that you have incredible gifts and talents and abilities that I've never seen before. And my job is to ripen them, to expose them to the world so that everyone can look at you and adore you the way that I do. When we approach people that way, absolute strangers that way, our children that way, our spouse that way, our employees that way, our boss that way, something changes in the dynamic of our relationship. Now, I understand if you're not judicious in that view, that worldview can become naivety and in some places can put you in harm's way. If you believe the best in everyone and find yourself in a prison cell telling everyone how awesome they are, that could be a fatal mistake. If you find yourself in the streets of an inner city somewhere or a foreign country somewhere, assuming that everyone is as safe and adorable as you are, it's not a safe assumption. I'm just saying, to view people as positive, to view people as competent and capable and adorable and admirable, right? That's a character trait that is laudable of every leader. But it must also be done judiciously, cautiously, with wisdom. I can tell you, though, learning to appreciate saved my marriage, changed the relationship that I have with my kids, rerouted the efforts that I have and the people that I lead and influence even today. Learning to appreciate people wasn't easy, wasn't in my nature. It took effort, still takes effort, every day, a conscious effort because it's not in my nature. For those of you, it's in your nature, yay for you and lucky you. That's a gift. The gift of encouragement is a powerful gift. Use it. Use it in your leadership. And for those of you like me who have always grown up under the thumb of a heavy disciplinarian, those who have been judged and ridiculed and criticized and beaten with rebar, beaten with BB guns, chased across the backyard, hit in the head with boots, that was my upbringing. Encouragement's a little hard to find. Encouragement for others, a little hard to find. Make a conscious effort. Trust me when I say the power of public displays of appreciation to say to others in front of others, I admire you, I adore you, I appreciate you. You bring a lot to this organization. I can't thank you enough for the who that you are and the work that you do. Little side note, be sure you appreciate people for both who they are and what they do. We are human beings first and then human doings. Just to acknowledge what someone does or just to acknowledge their appearance, that can be a huge miss. In fact, it can be considered sexual harassment if you go too far with that, if you're not appropriate with that. I haven't actually written the book, The Power of PDA, but it is a great speech. If that's something you're interested in, hit me up in a private DM and we'll talk about it. Also, The Attitude Hack. We talk extensively about the attitude of appreciation and what that looks like. So you might want to get your hands on that training as well. That's about 9 different attitudes that we discuss and the process of changing an attitude in a team. Pretty deep material, though. We taught it as a college course in the Congo. So if that's something you're interested in, you can find that on the website as well. But I'm going to challenge you as a leader. Even if appreciation, even if encouragement, even if lifting others up is uncomfortable, unusual, out of your wheelhouse, do it anyway. Because the power that it has to build up your team, to motivate your team, to inspire your team, to greater levels of productivity, to change their attitude and their behavior. Appreciation is the most powerful tool in the world to do that, and you can't pay enough to replace it. How do we know? Because 60% of people who walk out of their jobs don't walk out over the pay. They walk out because they feel underappreciated. You may find that's true in divorce court. You may find that's true in teen runaways. You may find that's true in broken relationships in general. People leave when they feel like they're not appreciated. You want them to stay? You want them to stay motivated? You want them to increase productivity? Appreciate them. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast for Tell It Like It Is TV. Have a blessed day.
Lauren is a master teacher on storytelling, and I learned so much. I'm really going to have to sit down and go back through everything, and I think I might have to have some more coffees with Lauren, but it was totally worth my time, and I really highly recommend it if you're looking to grow your ministry, grow your business, grow your career. Lauren will serve you well.
Thank you.
Subscribe now for our extensive video library of leadership lessons promoting faith, family, and freedom.